This month is our this month we're moving on from onto a new theme, and our theme this month is baptism. So you haven't, if you haven't been baptized, this is a good month to be at church because we can get you baptized, right? But also we can talk about baptism, what it means, and what it means to us as well, what's happened for those of us who are already baptized, and how that impacts and is indicative of what God is doing in each of our lives. But this morning, the title of my message is A Jar of Pickles. Okay? A Jar of Pickles. My wife really likes pickles. There you go. Now, that's not to say, look, it might sound like a funny title, but it'll make sense in a bit. But the truth is, baptism is incredibly profound. It's beautiful, it's meaningful, it's powerful, and it's transformative. But I do sometimes struggle to find illustrations that can really capture the full essence of what it means to be baptized. But as I was preparing for this message today, I actually came across an analogy that came pretty close to communicating baptism well. Now, you might not even know what baptism is. You might not know that Jesus tells us to get saved, to believe in Him and be baptized. There's not a very long pause between believe in Him and be baptized. They're in the same sentence. There's not even a comma there. Believe in Him and be baptized. That's what He wants us to do when we become Christians. And sometimes we can think, well, we actually bring them closer together. Well, somehow getting baptized will make you believe in Jesus. It doesn't work that way either. But I came across this analogy, and the metaphor came from quite an unlikely source. It wasn't from some theological concordance or a Bible dictionary or anything like that. It's actually from a Greek poet, a physician, and a grammarian named Nicander. He was probably also a part-time chef. And Nicander lived roughly 200 years before Christ was born. In all likelihood, he knew nothing about our Savior or about baptism. At some point in time in his life, Nicander wrote out a recipe on how to make pickles out of vegetables. In his recipe, well, actually, it's in this recipe that I found probably one of the best illustrations of baptism, for me anyway, that I've ever come across. In his recipe, Nicander wrote that in order to make a pickle, the vegetable should first be dipped into boiling water and then left immersed forever in a vinegar solution. Obviously, he wrote all of this in Greek. Okay, so it wasn't in English, but he wrote it in Greek. However, the Greek word he used to describe the process of dipping the vegetable in the boiling water is the word bapto. All right, bapto, that's dipping. And the Greek word he used to describe the process of leaving the vegetable immersed forever in vinegar is the word baptizo. Here's what is most interesting. Every single time the word baptism appears in the New Testament, the Greek word used is baptizo, not the word bapto. To be baptized does not mean to be dipped in Christ and then go on living the same lives we were living earlier, not at all. To be baptized means to be left forever immersed in Christ, just as a pickle is left forever immersed in vinegar. When you taste a pickled vegetable, it tastes more like the pickling solution than the vegetable itself. This is what the faith that leads us to baptism should do to us. It should make us taste more of Christ than of ourselves. Now, I need to be clear. It's not the act of baptism itself that brings about our transformation. It is the faith that leads us to baptism that changes us inside out. After all, baptism is but an external expression of an earlier internal reality. So when we are baptized, which is we have a public ceremony, well, not necessarily a public ceremony, our friends and family is around, we're witnessing being baptized. Usually friends and family from church are there. And we're declaring to those that are watching us and praying for us that we have committed to follow Christ. Now, when we receive Christ into our life, we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It can be a little bit like being introduced to the most, when you're single, introduced to the most amazing specimen of the opposite sex, or you're attracted, and you're like, wow, they're amazing. And we're like, Jesus is incredible. I just gave my life to Jesus, invited him into my life, and this is incredible. But do you know one of the things we do in the Western world a lot is we'll date for ages. And then we'll add an engagement on the end of that, and we'll be engaged for ages. And then we might get married, but it's usually 2 to 3 years after we met the person. Yeah? And somehow we do the same thing with baptism. We come to Jesus and then we go through this process. And it might be a couple of classes, and then we learn all sorts of things about how to be baptized and why you should be baptized and how it's important and all that sort of stuff. And we go through this process, and then we build it up into this big thing where, man, you know, if I get baptized, I'm not allowed to sin anymore. If I get baptized, like, I don't know if I can do that. That's just too far. But we forget that the person doing it is somebody who actually loves us, Jesus. He's the one that's going to do it. God's going to do it in our lives. When you get baptized, it's not about you saying, right, I'm finally ready. I'm not going to do any more sin. When you look in a jar of pickles and it's all mixed up, there's different types of vegetables in there. They don't all become the same vegetable. Like, I'm still me. Like I was before I got baptized, I'm still that guy. I still have a mole right here under my nose. I still don't have any here. But what's happening is because I am immersed in Christ for the rest of my life, ultimately it's going to start, my life's going to start being showing evidence of Him. When I met Sarah, I was pretty convinced she was the woman I was going to marry. She was the woman I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. And one of the interesting things is I'd been married before, so had she. And one of the early evenings in our dating, we were sitting on the sofa, we were talking, and I said to her, you know what, I'm too old now. I think I was 30. We both looked at each other very seriously. You know, we're just getting too old to play games. But one of the things we decided was, well, okay, if we're going to spend the rest of our lives together, we need to know about each other. Now, we could do that by spending the next 5 years tentatively getting to know each other. Or we could just sit here and I'll tell you what, I'll tell you all the terrible things about me I don't want anyone to know. So I sat there and I told her all the terrible things about me I didn't want anyone to know. I said, right, now you have enough information to make a decision, or you have enough information to really hurt me, but it'll get done now, not 5 years' time. The cool thing that she did, she said, okay, well, I'll tell you all the things that I don't want anyone to know about me. So she did. We both sat there waiting for the other person to go, that's it, I'm done. Like, and it didn't happen. We've been married 20 years now. I can honestly say that it's the best 20 years of my life. And I think the same thing with Christ. You see, I've come to Christ. I've given my life to Christ. And then I spent a lot of time trying to show Christ the best part of me. I came to him and said, Lord, you know, I want to be saved. And then I spent the rest of my life, or the rest of a long period of time, trying to prove to him that he'd made a good choice in choosing me. And I tried to hide all the things that were just things I didn't want him to know. I didn't want him to know what I really thought. So I'd come up with these really good prayers and things that I could pray that would sound like I didn't have any problems. So when you're dating, it's a bit like that. You know, you put your best look, you know. They don't know that you normally bathe once a week. Because you smell great when you go out with them. But what I've realized, and this is the thing with us, when we're dating and then when we marry someone, we spend the rest of our life like discovering all these new things. And all of them are amazing, right? They're all good. But what we do with Christ sometimes is we're like, okay, I've given my life to Christ. Now I'm going to show Christ just what he's got, the prize that he's won. And so I'm going to work really hard to get it all right. We forget he knows everything about us. What does David say in the Psalms before? It's my mother's womb. God knew us. He knew us. And one of the things I love about being married is now I have such a rich tapestry and story of my wife. I know so much more about her. I know this amazing person in my life. God knew that before you were born about you. Everything. And his invitation is for us to know everything about him and wants us to be on that journey with him. Baptism is a rich and beautiful ordinance or sacrament that our Lord Jesus Christ gave us. Through this, we celebrate our union with him in his life, his death, his burial, and resurrection. It's not only a beautiful celebration of beginning our life in Christ, it also reminds us of the power to live our lives in Christ. Marrying my wife, I got this wedding ring. All right, well, not this exact one because I lost one. This wedding ring. Yeah, yeah. But this wedding ring, the interesting thing about a wedding ring is, you know, you see in movies, there's some guy who's going to cheer on his wife, goes to the bar and he pulls his ring off and it's like, you know, oh, you should keep that ring on because that's going to remind you of your fidelity to your wife. Actually, the cool thing about a wedding ring is it reminds me that my wife loves me. It's not reminding me that I've got a chain on or that I've got to make it work, I've got to do stuff. The wedding ring isn't to remind me of what I need to do. This wedding ring reminds me of what my wife has already done. She's already given her life to me. And she wears a ring on her finger that says, I've given my life to her. Baptism is not about you proving to God that he got a good deal. Baptism is a reminder of what God has already done for you. Baptism is already a reminder of what Jesus has done to commit himself to you. You don't have to look at it as some scary thing. Can I live up to the expectations of baptism? Can I? No, you can't. You can't live up to any of the expectations of being a Christian. Nobody can. You require something bigger and more powerful than yourself. This is what baptism is reminding you of, that the power to live your life according to Christ is found in Christ. The vegetable can't make itself a pickle. It needs to be immersed in something. So this very act of baptism Oh. You know, some time ago I was reading through the epistle to the Romans and I saw something profound there. Actually, I see lots of things profound in Romans. If you haven't read it and then read it again. In Romans 6, the Apostle Paul is charging believers not to keep on sinning because they have unending grace in Christ. That's Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Unending grace in Christ. And then Paul asks them a seemingly rhetorical question. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, he says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" I say this question is rhetorical because Paul is writing about baptism to people who have already been baptized. That's who Paul is writing to. He's not writing to non-believers, he's writing to people who've already been baptized. So why is Paul preaching baptism to people who've already been baptized? The answer is simple. Paul is pointing believers who are struggling with sin back to their own baptism. Reminding them of what Christ has already done. This ring reminds me of what my wife has already done. Look back at the beauty of how you began your life in Christ with baptism. This is one place where you can find the power to now live faithfully, Paul seems to be telling them. In other words, looking back at the beauty of our justification, so we were justified by grace, is one way we receive power for our sanctification, our ongoing right living. I think this is why a jar of pickles is such a helpful reminder of the meaning of baptism. It's not about being dipped into Christ just once. It's not like, okay, I need to get baptized, and once it's done, bang, click, done, baptism, done, over. What it is being immersed and committed. It was like me. I was dating my wife. We were having a great time. We wanted to be together forever. Now, we could have been together forever and never got married. I love her. She loves me. We could do that. But I wanted to do something for her, and she wanted to do something for me. And that was a declaration point, a moment in our lives that said to everybody around us, "I am yours, and you are mine." Now, we have a few wedding photos, and we get to look back on those. Makes it very hard to be in the middle of fight and see these two same people, me and her, looking adoringly at each other in a photo while we're fighting. Makes the fight a little bit harder. Especially if you, in the middle of it, go, "Oh, look at that." But I can look back on that day and I can think, yeah, that was the day where we made a commitment to one another before a whole bunch of other people. That was the day I declared my love, my commitment to you in front of everyone. The same thing with baptism. You know, I was baptized at 16 years old and I invited... Probably the first time I'd ever done it, I invited some of my unchurched friends to come along who didn't even know I went to church, and suddenly I'm being baptized, and I remember them all kind of looking around like, this is weird. And I was a bit scared to tell people about Jesus because I was just a bit scared to do it. 16 years old, I stand up in front of everyone and I pick up the microphone, and then I did the most uncoolest thing ever. Oh, actually, we had to wear these like karate gis, you know, like, and the women wore the like this, like pretty much a tent that the women had to wear that went in. And the really terrible thing about it is that as you got down, because we had this baptismal tank, as you got down into the tank, the air inside it lifted it up so you looked like you were like this big beach ball getting into this pool. Anyway, it's not very sanctified to talk about it like that. But anyway, that was what happened. So I got asked to share my testimony, and I was like, okay, I'm going to share my testimony. What am I going to say? And so I got up to share, and literally it was just very uncool for a 16-year-old. I just burst into tears. And I just couldn't stop weeping. And I remember that something kind of, all of the speech that I had and everything I thought I was going to say just went away. And I remember struggling through it, but I said, whether you believe in him or not, whether you believe that anything that's going on right now is true, whether you think God is real or you don't, one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I said, and that's what I'm doing today. And then I went and got baptized. It was amazing. I got prayed for. And, you know, it was awesome. Now, in those days, the other thing they did like before and after photos. So, like, and then you got this little book thing, and it had like a photo of what you looked like before and what you looked like after. And it's kind of cool. It's a bit, it's kind of like a wedding thing. You got this like certificate and stuff. It was a moment to remember. But it wasn't remembering about how awesome I am. And look, I have vivid memories and recollections of that day. But it's a reminder of what Jesus has done. And to this day, I remember that I made a commitment to identify with Christ, that I was his. Man, I spent some time being a bit of an idiot after that. But you know what? When I got married, I spent some time being a bit of an idiot too. And my wife still loves me to this day. Amazing. In fact, I think I haven't stopped finding out new ways to be a bit of an idiot. Both with my wife and with Jesus. But I know I can point to that moment. You know, that woman is my wife. This ring keeps reminding me. I'm aware of that. Baptism is not being dipped into Christ just once. It's not just a moment and then, oh well. It's just a commitment and an immersion in a life with Christ for the rest of our lives, which is going to be a very long time. It's being immersed forever in him in eternal union with him. It's establishing that I am his and he is mine. I could go on a bit longer, but I think we actually are going to have some baptisms today. So I'm going to ask if you are interested in being baptized, after the service, if you just talk with Kay here, we can actually do it today. Kay up the front, talk to Kay. We can actually do a baptism today if you haven't been baptized yet and you want to be. The other thing I would say, if you're a Christian or you've professed a faith in Christ and you haven't been baptized and you're thinking, you know, I'm not quite ready for it, let me just remind you, you're not going to be. You're not going to be ready. When you give your life to Christ, you're not ready. You don't understand. You don't know. Just one thing in you just goes, you know what? I want to respond to Jesus. Same thing with baptism. That's why I think we get believe in me and be baptized. There's no pause there. There's no time for us to figure out whether or not it's okay. Just do it. So yeah, after the service, come and see Kay and we'll see if we can get you baptized today in this lovely Hawke's Bay weather. It'll be fine. Father, we thank you that you first loved us. Father, we thank you that you showed your commitment, your eternal commitment to us by laying down your life, by laying down the life of your Son. Jesus, we thank you that through that just unfathomable sacrifice, unfathomable love. You committed to us, to transforming us, restoring us into right relationship with God. And Lord, I pray this morning, as we sit here in your presence, Lord, as those who are, Lord, there's something quickening in their hearts. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would draw them to you this morning.